Randy Babbitt sacrifices Hank Krakowski. Three more sleeping controllers embarrass the FAA. And Babbitt and the Controllers Union plan a roadshow. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 15th, 2011. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt promised swift action on the sleeping controller scandal. Hopes that it would be meaningful action were dialed back yesterday when Hank Krakowski became a scapegoat on the altar. Quote, "Over the last few weeks, we have seen examples of unprofessional conduct on the part of a few individuals that have rightly caused the traveling public to question our ability to ensure their safety. This conduct must stop immediately. I am committed to maintaining the highest level of public confidence, and that begins with strong leadership. This morning, I met with the head of our air traffic organization. Hank Krakowski has submitted his resignation, and I have accepted it. Hank is a dedicated aviation professional, and I thank him for his service. Starting today, I have asked David Grizzle, FAA's chief counsel, to assume the role of acting ATO chief operating officer while we conduct a nationwide search to permanently fill the position. We are conducting a top-to-bottom review of the way we operate our air traffic control system. I will continue to make whatever changes are necessary to ensure we concentrate on keeping the traveling public safe." Unquote. Now, I don't know Hank Krakowski personally. I have no idea how his overall job performance has been, but it's hard to figure out how he's to blame for controllers falling asleep. It's possible his real crime was failing to inform Babbitt about an embarrassing incident involving a sleeping controller February 19th at McGee Tyson Airport in Knoxville, Tennessee, which Babbitt had to sheepishly admit to Congress last week. The FAA even failed to inform airport management that this had happened. In that case, controller Jonathan Keith Poindexter allegedly planned and took a five-hour nap during his graveyard shift, leaving the other controller on duty to juggle the radar and tower positions. The FAA announced it will try to fire Poindexter, but that's harder than it sounds. KnoxNews.com reports Poindexter is already serving probation after pleading guilty to gun possession while intoxicated, after confronting a suspected romantic rival at a Waffle House near the airport. Following that incident, the FAA removed him from air traffic control duty and ordered a medical evaluation. But he returned to work. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association is a pretty effective union. In such an environment, with a pro-union administrator in Babbitt, what exactly was Krakowski supposed to have done in the, 3 weeks since the problem of sleeping controllers first came to light? Could it simply be that he's a Bush administration appointee, and that made him the politically appropriate scapegoat? Taking over is David Grizzle, a lawyer appointed by the Obama administration. I got a hard lesson in the business world 25 years ago when a department head blamed poor performance on his staff. Corporate called his bluff, and I was one of a bunch of people who got blindsided with pink slips as a result. I was fine. I landed in a better situation the next week. But the enterprise which had allowed all of us to be scapegoated ultimately failed. Hank Krakowski spent 30 years with United Airlines, where in addition to managing at the VP level, he flew several aircraft types. He's an experienced dispatcher in ANP, and has even been an aerobatic performer. I suspect he'll be fine in all this. For the sake of the traveling public and everyone who flies an aircraft, let's hope this enterprise doesn't fail. And it's happened again. A controller at Reno Tahoe International Airport was unresponsive for at least 16 minutes Wednesday morning while a medical flight was circling with an ill passenger on board. After there was no answer by radio or telephone in the tower, the pilot told Northern California TRACON he had to land. A controller there responded he would do so at his own risk. The apparently sleeping controller at Reno Tahoe has been suspended. And there's more. The FAA has suspended an air traffic controller at Boeing Field King County International Airport in Seattle for falling asleep during his morning shift on Monday. The controller was monitoring local traffic in the airport tower cab while two other controllers worked arriving and departing aircraft. The FAA's investigating this one. The controller is already facing disciplinary action for falling asleep twice during an evening shift on January 6th. The FAA has also suspended two controllers for an incident that occurred during the early morning hours of March 29th at Preston Smith International Airport in Lubbock, Texas. During the midnight shift, the two failed to hand off departing aircraft to the Fort Worth ARTCC, It also took repeated attempts for a controller at Fort Worth to reach them to hand off an inbound aircraft. Randy Babbitt and his boss, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, are anxious to let the traveling public know they get it. LaHood commented regarding the rash of sleeping controllers, quote, "I am totally outraged by these incidents. This is absolutely unacceptable. The American public trusts us to run a safe system. Safety is our number one priority, and I am committed to working 24/7 until these problems are corrected," unquote. Babbitt added, quote, "Air traffic controllers are responsible for making sure aircraft safely reach their destinations. We absolutely cannot and will not tolerate sleeping on the job. This type of unprofessional behavior does not meet our high safety standards," unquote. Babbitt and Controllers Union President Paul Rinaldi are launching a nationwide call to action on air traffic control safety and professionalism. Along with members of their senior leadership teams, they'll visit air traffic facilities around the country to reinforce the need for all air traffic personnel to adhere to the highest professional standards. The call to action will also include an independent review of the FAA's air traffic control training curriculum and qualifications, and the union, NATCA, will make its professional standards committees bigger. Up next on ANN, Senator Inhofe gets a slap on the wrist. New Mexico embraces recreational aviation. And the Commercial Spaceflight Federation gets a new president. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Like it needed another black eye this week, the FAA is catching some flack for its kid glove treatment of Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. After the 75-year-old lawmaker passed over a big yellow X and landed his Cessna 340A on a closed runway at Port Isabel, Texas back in October, a construction crew on the runway complained that Inhofe came so close that his prop wash peppered them with debris. In an interview excerpted on the Smoking Gun website, construction supervisor Sidney Boyd recalls that Inhofe nearly hit one of the construction trucks and that the plane touched down and then, quote, "sky hopped over us," unquote. The FAA remanded the senator to remedial training and has sent a letter to him acknowledging documentation of 4 hours of ground instruction and 3 hours of remedial flight training. Inhofe is a member of the Senate Subcommittee on Transportation and Infrastructure. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez has signed House Bill 12 into law, adding operation of aircraft to the state's existing recreational use statute. The New Mexico Pilot Association predicts the new law is likely to lead to the opening of a large number of small airstrips in beautiful areas of the mountains and deserts of New Mexico. The volunteers of the NMPA Recreational Airstrip Committee have begun mapping airstrips in the state and will be adding them to its website as information is verified. That site can be found at www.nmpilots.org. A signing ceremony in Beijing Wednesday saw CDB Leasing Company Limited confirm the purchase of a second batch of 10 Embraer 190s to be operated by China Southern Airlines Company Limited. In addition, a letter of intent was signed for a third group of 10, which, if confirmed, will bring the total order to 30 aircraft, worth $1.25 billion U.S. at list prices. Embraer VP Paulo Cesar de Souza e Silva commented, quote, "The continuous growth of the Chinese regional aviation market has opened up opportunities for airlines expanding their services in complete agreement with the central government policy. We are proud that the Embraer 190 has been recognized as an ideal tool to perform such role," unquote. China Southern Airlines will receive its first Embraer 190 during the second half of this year. The Commercial Spaceflight Federation reports that retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Craig E. Steidel has been named as president effective May 15th. Admiral Steidel was approved by a unanimous vote of the board of directors and will serve full-time in the organization's headquarters in downtown Washington, D.C. Steidel calls his new role an honor. Quote, "The commercial space industry truly represents the future of America in space, and I'm excited to be a part of it. It's a privilege to lead the Federation as we embark on the grandest adventure of the 21st century, opening up space to everyone," unquote. Outgoing President Bretton Alexander reflected on his four-year term. Quote, "Commercial spaceflight is now the law of the land and will be the primary way NASA gets astronauts to and from the International Space Station. Membership in the Federation has grown from under 10 companies when I joined to over 40 now, providing a strong foundation. Admiral Steidel's vision for commercial spaceflight while at NASA convinced me then that this was truly the space program of the future, and I can think of no better person to lead this effort moving forward," unquote. Still ahead, airline seats will hit a new high this month. Frontier Airlines treats rebundling as an innovation. And the 100th RV-12 has flown. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 15th. I'm Paul Plack. In its latest monthly survey of airline activity, OAG reports the world's airlines are scheduled to offer 317.4 million seats this month. That's the highest ever airline capacity for April. That's 5% more than the same month last year. The fastest growing market by volume of seats is the Middle East, up 11% year to year, but political instability in the region may push that back down for a while. The Asia-Pacific market is also expected to see disruption caused by the earthquakes, tsunami, and nuclear crisis in Japan. Is it too soon to call this retro? Frontier Airlines has announced fee reductions and policy changes, including the elimination of fees for itinerary changes made prior to the day of travel on the airline's classic fares. Ian Arthur, VP of Marketing and Branding, explains, quote, "A guest can now enjoy the flexibility of no change fees in addition to two complimentary checked bags, same-day standby, bonus early returns miles, and more, making the classic fare by far the best bang for your buck. The beauty of our classic and classic plus fares is the freedom they provide our guests to select the option that best meets their unique travel needs and bundles those features into an affordable package rather than paying for them a la carte," unquote. What an innovation. How did they ever think of that? Vans Aircraft's light sport aircraft, the RV-12, was introduced just over 3 years ago. Well over 500 kits have been sold since, and on Wednesday, the 198th kit to ship became the 100th RV-12 to fly. Co-builder John Ratliff made the first flight of November 312 Echo, taking off from the grass runway at Shade Tree Airport just north of Gulfport, Mississippi. He commented, quote, "I've heard the hype that the 12 flies like an RV, and I thought, yeah, right. I have a couple hundred hours in RV-8s, and I know what an RV is supposed to feel like. Well, there's no way I would have believed it, but Vans nailed it. The RV-12 really does fly like an RV," unquote. Vans aircraft continues to generate impressive numbers. Well over 7,000 RVs are completed and flying in at least 26 countries, and a newly completed Vans kit makes its first flight an average of 11 times a week worldwide. And finally today, it's official, Burt Rutan has retired. Five of his airplane designs hang in the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum. One of them flew around the world on one tank of gas. Burt is now officially chairman emeritus of Scaled Composites, the company he founded back in 1982, but his day-to-day work for the company is over. The LA Times reports that Rutan has developed 367 different aircraft concepts, and 45 have flown. That makes one for every year of his career. Following a celebration of his remarkable career at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh this summer, Burt and his wife Tanya reportedly will move to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, for their retirement. But you know what? I'm going to guess we haven't seen the last new aircraft design from Burt Rutan. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the conclusion of my conversation with Garmin's Jim Alpizer, Jim will talk about how customers will get trained to use the new GTN 650 and 750, light squared broadband versus GPS, and what else is happening at Garmin these days. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Now, get to work on your tax return and have a clear and unlimited day.